Volume 3, Chapter 46, Conflict in New York. Boston was not the only place where armed conflict exploded between the citizens and British troops. We remember that the New York Assembly had been forced by British threats to comply with the British Mutiny Act, and therefore voted to supply British troops in New York in June 1767. At the end of 1768, the Assembly, under pressure from the Sons of Liberty and coming under control of the radical liberals, resumed its resistance and bravely refused to vote for the supplies during 1769. Finally, the Assembly yielded in mid-December 1769 by a thin majority. The agitation of the people, aggravated by the economic depression of the day, was led by the Sons of Liberty. Spearheading the attack was the merchant Alexander McDougall, one of the radical leaders of the Sons of Liberty of New York. McDougall, in the pamphlet To the Betrayed Inhabitants of New York, attacked the Assembly's capitulation and urged imitation of the deeds of the brave Bostonians. At a popular meeting of 1,400 people, led by John Lamb of the Sons of Liberty, a committee of sons was appointed to pressure the Assembly. The Assembly lashed back at the McDougall broadside as a false, seditious, and infamous libel, and called for the author's arrest. Lamb and Benjamin Prince, a friend of McDougall's, were accused of authoring libel, but the Assembly could find no evidence against them. In mid-January 1770, resentment against the British soldiery came to a head. Since 1766, the British troops in New York had repeatedly cut down the Liberty Pole, which had been built by the Sons of Liberty to commemorate repeal of the Stamp Act. One of the grievances against the British soldiers was that they offered themselves as cheap civilian labor, thus undercutting the regular laborers. This was a major reason for the clashes between ropewalk laborers and soldiers, who sometimes worked as civilians there at low rates in the days before the Boston Massacre. In New York, the Sons of Liberty, on January 16, issued an attack on those who employed British soldiers and called a meeting at the Liberty Pole. The soldiers promptly cut down the pole and contemptuously deposited the pieces at the doors of the Sons of Liberty. The enraged sons held a mass meeting of 3,000 people who protested the destruction of the Liberty Pole and the employment of British troops in laboring work. In retaliation, the British troops issued a handbill denouncing the Sons of Liberty as dangerous enemies of the country. As some soldiers tried to post the leaflet on January 19, they were seized by Isaac Sears and a group of Liberty boys and taken to the mayor's office. An attempt by the British to effect a rescue led to a clash between the troops wielding bayonets and the crowd armed only with chains and sticks. Several citizens were wounded at this, the Battle of Golden Hill. A clash with occupying troops thus antedated Boston's by nearly 2 months, but the consequences were considerably different. New York was ruled not by popular leadership of radical liberals, but by factions of a conservative, land-based oligarchy. In New York, the Sons of Liberty were not the vanguard of a dominant movement, but a radical group trying to work its way into position to crack open an oligarchic power structure. The armed clash, instead of cementing libertarian control here, intensified a conservative backlash and made the conservatives determined to crush the Sons of Liberty. Broadsides appeared, supporting the granting of money to the British troops and ridiculing the Liberty boys, McDougall being attacked as an Irish upstart. His authorship of the seditious pamphlet criticizing the Assembly having been betrayed by an informer. Alexander McDougall was arrested by the Assembly during February and turned over to the common law courts to be indicted for seditious libel. Consciously emulating the courage and career of John Wilkes, MacDougall remained in jail rather than post bail, and was visited by adoring crowds and hailed as the Wilkes of America. The radicals even used the talismanic Wilkite number 45. To the New York conservatives, MacDougall was indeed a Wilkes who sought to trample down all legal authority and shake the government to the foundation. He was defended by John Moore and Scott, as well as by the Liberty Boys. But with the prosecution's major witness, the informer, dying, the government decided not to press the case further. MacDougall was released from prison to great popular rejoicing. His freedom was short-lived. At the end of the year, MacDougall, on the same charge, was hauled before the Vindictive Assembly, acting by its own authority. First, the Assembly tried to force MacDougall to testify against himself. When he refused, it threatened him with torture to force him to testify. Still refusing, MacDougall was asked to write out his reasons for doing so. Typically, the Assembly decided that this statement contained fresh libels in contempt of the Assembly and demanded that he beg its pardon. When MacDougall still refused, the Assembly sentenced him to indefinite imprisonment for high contempt and ordered the sheriff, as in the Smith-Moore case in Pennsylvania in the 1750s, to disregard any writ of habeas corpus. Only 5 members of the Assembly voted against this brutal suppression of freedom of criticism by a government body that acted as its own complainant, judge, and jury. MacDougall was finally released at the end of the Assembly session in April 1771, with the government dropping all charges against him.